Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. The story from the Gospel of Mark is a familiar story, not only in the sense that the story of the boat and the storm and all of that is familiar, but we know what it's like to be caught in the calamities of life. One of the ways you can look back on your life is to track the calamities. It's kind of an interesting way to go about it. I wouldn't recommend it as a regular practice, but they are there along the way, the difficulties and the struggles. We can kind of have a certain perspective on them, which helps us kind of get through from one year to the next. There was a story about a very elderly lady who was always happy when the month of May came around. And so somebody asked her, well, why do you like the month of May so much? She said, well, I've lived for 92 months of Mays, I've never died in the month of May. Well, all her faculties weren't quite there, but she was looking on the bright side. You know, I've gone through 92 Mays. Well, maybe 93. You know, maybe this will be okay too. So we have our ways of dealing with the problems, the calamities that confront us. But sometimes they are of such a nature that they're on our hands. You know, we just have to deal with them. And here we find the disciples in our story today, in a very difficult situation. They're in a storm in a little boat in a fairly large body of water, and the Sea of Galilee is notorious for these sudden storms, these wind storms that come up off the hills, and churn up tremendous waves. And fishermen are always kind of wary about that, looking out for those, because they're dangerous. Even today, they can be very dangerous. So they're caught in this storm, and they are in danger of being overwhelmed. And, of course, as I say, we can look at this picture and there is a sort of a metaphor in that sense of the world that we know, that we perpetually find ourselves in, where the storms kind of never seem to stop, you know. Just when one settles down, we find another one is stirred up. It's sort of like we're in a perpetual hurricane season, somebody once said, you know. Just when we put one away, another one starts swirling and shows up in the neighborhood. And they can be great or small, but in any case, they're part of our experience, they're part of our life, and so part of what we attempt to do, of course, is to remediate these situations, to deal with them, and try to reduce the risks, try to make things as manageable as possible. And the disciples, of course, they're frightened in the situation, and they immediately, in their fear, they turn to Jesus, but for all the wrong reasons. The first thing they meet him with is their suspicions, their doubts. You know, why don't you care? You see, the fact that this has even come upon us is something you should have seen to that didn't happen. Well, that's an interesting picture, insight there that we get in this story. Why do these things happen? I mean, wouldn't it have been just as possible for Jesus to have never let the storm occur in the first place? And then there wouldn't have been any need for this dramatic moment of, you know, don't you care? Wake up. Why are you sleeping? Calm the storm. Do something, you see? Well, I suppose there's a recognition here in the story, in the scriptural picture, in the biblical narrative, that while we're in this life, in this world, living between the creations, the old, the new and the old creation, the storms will come. They will come. And there will be no aversion, you know, while we're in this life. That's what we mean by tracking the calamities, like tracking the hurricane seasons, you know. They will come. And they do. And they're on our hands, as I say, and we know that. So I suppose, in one sense then, as people of faith, we, perhaps more than others, because we have the scriptures and we have the witness of Jesus in his earthly life and ministry with his disciples, we have that calling to be sober about this with the world and not to enter into the hand-wringing around us that somehow all this should stop. And if we just take enough control of things, we can make things stop. We can make all the calamities go away. That's not the way it works in a world like this. They're on our hands. So this is the scenario we see first in the story. They awaken, they're frightened rather, they shake Jesus awake and they start accosting him for his lack of concern. Maybe you've done that with God. You know, I know I have. Well, Jesus doesn't reply immediately. He says, okay, if that's your prayer, stop, says to the storm. All right, let's calm things down here. So next thing you know, like in our window, it's the younger Jesus side of the picture here in Matthew's gospel. All the lines are horizontal. Everything is very lineal and calm. Okay, storm is calmed. Things quiet down. Then he turns to his disciples, and now it's his turn to point the finger a little bit. Say, what's with you guys? No faith? What happened to your faith? Okay, you got a storm on your hands. But you've also got me. So what are you going to believe? That the storm is more powerful than I am? That seems to be what's going on here, with all your panic and confusion and worrying and anxiety. So when I was reading this text a couple weeks ago on the deck at Yosemite, not really my favorite thing to do on vacation, I mean work, but you know, I had to get ready, prepare. It kind of hit me, you know. Gosh, I'm kind of that way sometimes. You know, I get kind of anxious, a little panicky about things. And I forget that he's here and that he is the Lord of creation. And that means everything that happens within it. And then that kind of brought into perspective the lesson from Corinthians, Paul writing to this congregation that he had kind of problems with over the years. Probably noticed the language this morning in the lesson from Paul, writing about his ministry. And he was always challenged, you know, about his ministry. People were always doubting his credentials because he wasn't one of the original 12 disciples. Probably to his last day, he was having to defend his authority as an apostle. And the Corinthians had other problems too, but this was one of the things he was having to kind of confront. In this lesson today, you saw the words, he talks about all these hardships, all these calamities that he endures as a minister, as a pastor, as an apostle. And he's saying to the Corinthians, does this look like somebody who's in it for himself? I mean, come on. I'm not in this for me. I'm in this for you. And it's extraordinary, isn't it, that he is able to absorb these kinds of conflicts and struggles in his life, these kinds of problems. But the reason he's able to do so, in other words, the reason he's able to stand in the boat in the storm and not complain, is because he knows who is with him in the struggle. Working together with him. Remember that line in the text? Working together with him, we commend ourselves to you. So whatever we go through, he goes on to say, calamities, beatings, riots, imprisonments, that's a real job description, isn't it, huh? We do it all for your sake. He says, for your sake, not for our sake. We don't put up with this nonsense because we're in it for something. We've got some gain here. I mean, there are preachers out there that are in it for themselves. There are ministers out there who do gain mightily from religion, but that's not what we're about, of course. So Paul kind of amplifies the story in the gospel this morning. He shows us something about what the Christian life can look like in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the struggles. That there is an attitude available to us in Christ where faith moves into the place of fear. Doesn't always replace it, you know. I mean, fear is not something that you can get rid of, nor we probably shouldn't get rid of it completely. It's kind of a warning mechanism to some extent. When you talk to anybody who's been in combat, you know, a soldier who's been in combat, they'll tell you that fear is right there. You can be very heroic and very brave and be very frightened. So that's not what we're talking about. But faith has a way of trumping fear. You know, it moves above it, keeps it in check. Just as the soldier's bravery and courage keeps fear in line in battle, so does faith keep fear in line in the midst of daily life, in the struggles, in the conflicts, in the calamities and the problems. And it does so because faith is attached in a living way to Christ himself. Faith isn't a thing that we employ. It is a conduit by which Christ gives strength, trust, encourages us, gives us himself. And so we're able to meet the difficulties. Now, of course, much of life, as we know, is spent in the religious category of living. Much of religion is spent trying to tell us that if we do certain things and behave a certain way, we can eliminate the calamities. You know, well, anybody with half a brain knows that that's nonsense. I don't know what world they're living in, but that's not the one that you and I have to live in. We have to struggle. That's just the nature of things. And so there are the times when the waves pour over and we do get a little anxious, and we sense the kind of the placid nature of God interpreted as distance and absence, and we wonder if he is really here among us. Well, it's my great joy and duty and obligation to tell you that he is. That's the word that we must keep hearing. When we are challenged in our faith, or lack of it, rather, in our lack of faith, which God continually brings before us, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that in this story, the first thing Jesus does is attack their faithlessness. He wants them to be mindful of it. He wants them to know it, you see, so that they learn to lean on him. Let him be their strength. He doesn't walk away from them. You know, get in the boat and walk on the water the other direction. That'd be quite a picture, wouldn't it? Is Jesus back to us, walking away from us in the boat. That would be quite an image, but that's not the image we've got, you see. And then to conclude, after this moment in the ship, when this takes place, they make landfall. And that's the next story in the Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the fifth chapter. And now the storm is calmed and everything is right with the world, and they make landfall, and the very next thing that happens is that Jesus leads his disciples into a community of pagans, unbelievers, and right into the cemetery where there is a man possessed with demons running around loose. Well, the storm starts to look pretty good here all of a sudden. But see, that's part of what this story is preparing us for. And if you go ahead and read in the Gospel of Mark this week and go ahead and read some of these stories, you can see how it works. That as we are buffeted and bounced around by the difficulties and the problems, we can begin to think that attacking individual issues and solving them is the big picture. It's not the big picture. Big picture is what God is doing with our lives and with the world. So Jesus calms the storm, gets them prepared, takes them now into this setting of ministry where they have to deal with some very difficult people and with evil itself. And here is the deeper dimension, you see, that beneath the calamities of life and the struggles is this conflict of evil going on, the cosmic powers that Paul talked about. And it is those powers, of course, that we are utterly incapable of dealing with. They have us by the throat, and there is no way we can contend with them. But Jesus can, and he does. And he does. In our baptism, he takes hold of us, you know, as little infants. And he takes hold of us as little ones who have been drowned and buried in his cross, who have been given over in this life to the powers of death and destruction. We will not escape them. At the same time, he raises us in baptism by his Holy Spirit, all the while keeping hold of us, then bringing us into the promise that even as we must be plunged into the calamities of life again and again and again, Even so, each time he will raise us with himself, bring us into the promise, bring us into the new life that is his presence with us until that final time when we are baptized the last time in whatever grave they throw us in, and he will raise us again and bring us from death to life. So there's a lot more going on here than just a storm and a fishing boat, you see. There is a whole way of life being presented here. A way of life that trusts itself in the midst of all the struggles, not to its own resources or to its fears, but to the one who calms fear, who is in control of all things, even the calamities, and brings us continually out of them to the promise of his renewing future again and again and again and again. That's the gift and promise of your baptism, because it is the gift and promise of Christ himself given to you there, continuing with you there day by day in the midst of all the hurts and hopes, the joys and the sorrows of life. Amen.